1. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. 1 through 11. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through verse 11. I'm going to reread now the New Living Translation. Reread now the New Living Translation. And I'm talking to you about today about the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me put a demarcation line right up here in the front. All other religious founders are dead. All other religious groups, founders, are dead. But the founder of the Christian faith, it's not a religion, it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's alive. Somebody say, Jesus is alive. But he's also Lord. Now, he got ascended up to the highest position in the universe, and Jesus Christ is in charge of galaxies to governments. He's in charge of everything. Nobody's higher than our Lord. Nobody's bigger than our God. Praise God. Nobody's got any higher authority than our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the absolute master of everything. He's ruler of the universe. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's high and lifted up. Everybody say, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in my first book I told you, Theophilus, he's talking to a king, Theophilus, ruler, governor, I think, about everything Jesus began to do and teach. Until the day that he was taken up to heaven. Where's Jesus up to up now? He's up in heaven. After giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit, through the 40 days after he suffered and died. So after he suffered and died, 40 days he stayed on earth until he ascended permanently. He appeared to the apostles from the time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. Like we said, all other religious founders are dead. Buddha, Muhammad, Harry Christ, you know, all these guys are dead and gone. But Jesus proved himself alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God for 40 days. When he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before." Verse 5, John baptized with water, but just in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and in the end of the world, earth." After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. And they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men, angels probably, or maybe saints that were already in heaven, we don't know. Is it two white-robed men? Suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." Hallelujah. So we're going to talk to you about the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, which really articulates the present-day purpose of Jesus. Now, some people portray Jesus in different vantage points. Now, let's go through just briefly some of them. Some of them view Jesus disobediently. In other words, they disobey the Lord. They're not following the Lord. They're not living for the Lord. They do not love the Lord. They disobey. Because we're all charged with repenting and believing the gospel. The gospel is the good news about who? Jesus Christ. He's the centerpiece. He's the starting point of all. Amen. He's the center point and start. So people disobey and they say, well, I don't, and they disregard that Jesus is Lord or Jesus means anything at all in my life. Well, one day every knee's what going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God, our Father. The Bible says things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. Come on now. You're going to have to obey and stop denying, which is the second thing, that Jesus is Lord. It's all about Jesus. That's what the Bible's all about. That's what Christianity is centered on. The death, burial, resurrection, and the fourth pillar of truth is the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like a table leg, this table over here has four legs, or, where it would be lopsided or leaning over, right? So it's the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and the ascension of Christ. Those are the four pillars of truth that we need to embrace. So some people are disobedient to the Lord. Some people deny the Lord. And unfortunately, sometimes casual or carnal Christians deny the Lord. They don't talk about the Lord. They don't share. They don't live for the Lord. They don't operate in a constant love for the Lord. Come on now. Praise the Lord. And so that's denying. That's just like Peter did. He denied. Denial is a river in Egypt. Well, praise God. It's a problem. You can't deny him. We shouldn't deny him. Praise God. And then some people are devoted to Jesus and dedicated to Jesus. They say, my whole life is yours, Lord. Every breath I breathe, every move I make, everything I do, may it bring honor and glory and majesty to you. Hallelujah. That's living for the Lord. We're not living for a dead Jesus. Come on now. We're not living for a dead God. We're living for a live Lord. Jesus is alive. He is Lord. See, people act like Jesus is dead because they do everything without him. They operate outside of him. When he's Lord, that means he's controller. He's ruler. He's master. He's owner. That's a lot of strong language wrapped up in that one title that he is, Lord. That means he what? He gets to tell me what to do. Lord, should I watch this movie? Now, I got pushback right then. When you mess with people's TV and their remote and their choices on what they want to do with their discretionary time, Lord? Lord? Should I skip church and do this? Lord, what would you have me do? Well, praise the Lord. Let me keep going. Hallelujah. The ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 24, 50 and 51 says this, and he led them as far out as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Thank God Jesus is a blesser. Amen. What was he saying? He was saying that Abrahamic blessing. He was saying the blessing that that Adam got and lost in the beginning. Praise God. Be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish the earth. Come on now. Take dominion. Subdue over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and everything that creepeth on earth. He blessed them. He blessed them. He ascended blessing his people. And it's still the same today. His ascension should bless us. Now, after it came to pass, while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. Now, let's read verse 9 and 11 again in Acts chapter 1. It said, now when they had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up in the clouds, and a cloud received them out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up to heaven? This same Jesus. Everybody say, this same Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. This exalted Lord is coming back. And he's coming back real soon. He said the same Jesus was taken up you from heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him going to heaven. So in the clouds of great glory, he went up. But in the clouds of glory, he's coming back. Praise God. So everybody's going to see him. Everybody's going to see that Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back to earth to rule and reign. You talking about corruption all through the world and different governments and things, money being mishandled all over the place. Jesus is going to set it straight. Everybody say, go Jesus, go Jesus, go. Come, Lord Jesus. You're going to have to operate under his government one way or another if you're alive when he's, if you're a Christian believer. Praise God. Hallelujah. So Christ's redemption, like I said, rests primarily on four pillars of truth. His incarnation, Jesus became flesh, God manifest in the flesh. His crucifixion on the cross, his resurrection bodily, hallelujah, and his ascension. The ascension, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, believers and Christ followers, was the explanation point, the exclamation point, completely and finally demonstrating his atonement had forever solved the problem that sin created. The ascension is a part of every Christian's hope. Christ was the first fruit of the resurrection, meaning that when all things are made due, his followers will be just like him. So what's the importance of this ascension of Jesus Christ? After Jesus rose from the dead, he presented himself. He said, look at me, touch me, handle. You know that, look at my stuff. To the woman at the tomb, to his disciples, and to more than 500 other people. In the days following his resurrection, Jesus taught about the kingdom of God. 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus and his disciples went to Mount Olive near Jerusalem. There Jesus promised his followers that they would soon receive the Holy Spirit, and he instructed them to remain in Jerusalem until the Spirit had come. Then Jesus blessed them, and he gave them the blessing, so he began to ascend into heaven. Now he charged them, he blessed us for a purpose, so that we can be a blessing to the world by carrying, communicating, and conveying the gospel. So some people think that, just come to church 2 hours, God forbid if it lasts 3 hours, you know, and then I'm done. Then I do my own thing. No, you should be, you're a kingdom citizen 24/7, 365. And Jesus is still Lord of all at all times. We got to get a concept that we're not unemployed in the body of Christ. There's no such thing as retirement from the will of God. He expects us to be a blessing, to be a benefit, to build up his church. Amen. So it is plain that the scriptures' ascension that Jesus made was literal, bodily return to heaven. He rose from the ground gradually and visibly observed by many intent onlookers, and the disciples tried to strain and glimpse at him as he's going into heaven. And they said, hey, look, guys, the way he's going up in glory, he's coming back in glory. Now that should be an explanation point to your hope. I mean, because the news is basically primarily negative. It's nauseating every time you look around, breaking news. But it's not breaking news about something good, it's usually something bad. Can anybody agree with that or attest to that? So I'm going to give you seven things that this ascension means to you. Then I'm going to ask the kids to come up and illustrate. I'm going to give you real fast. So write seven if you're writing notes. I'm going to give you seven. I'm going to give you six, and then I'm going to have the kids come up real quick. Why is this ascension meaningful? For several reasons. Number one, it signaled the end of his earthly ministry. Jesus was only here to do a certain thing. He came to die. He came as a lamb, to be slain. He's coming back as a lion to rule and reign. Praise God. So it marked this end of his earthly ministry. But is Jesus out of ministry? Is he sitting up with his legs crossed in his lazy boy and watching reruns and old classic movies? Come on now. Is he spending all his time on Netflix or Prime Video? No. Jesus is not lazy. He's in full-time ministry right now. N-O-W, now. Are you listening to me? So the period of human limitation had came to an end. Number two, it signifies success of his earthly work. It signified success in his earthly work. And then number three, it marked the return to his heavenly glory. Jesus came from heaven, but then he went back to heaven, but he's coming back to earth. Amen. Number four, it symbolized his exaltation by the Father. God was promoting him and elevating him in front of many witnesses. Because how many know there's so much news about different ways to God, different ways to get to God, to serve God. And God was showing the whole world, this is the only one. This is the only way. This is the only Lord. This is the only mediator between God and man. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So God exalted him. And then number five, it allowed him to prepare a place for us. He said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. Now, how many know Jesus has been working on your house? Now, this place is the word in the Greek that means estate, or we would say mansion. Now, if you've been in the Dominion area, the Dominion part of San Antonio, they have multi-million-dollar homes there, right? Right there, aren't they up there? They're really nice, tailor-made, a lot of them custom designed. How many know God is custom designing a home for you? And Jesus said, I'm not going up to sit in a lazy boy and flip through 400 channels and just watch what's going on in the earth. Come on now. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And he's not talking about a little shack or a little closet or a little efficiency apartment. Come on now. He said, I'm going to prepare a place, which means a mansion, an estate that's tailor-made to everything you like and design. Come on now. Jesus is working on your crib. He's working on your house. He's working on your habitation when you get to heaven. People have misconceptions that they're going to go to heaven and be floating on a cloud and strumming a harp and have wings. No, you're going to have your human body. Come on now. But you're going to go to a home that God made, custom-made for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Some people get all bothered. And, of course, if you're a homeowner, you know, here, and we know, it's hard cutting the grass. I mean, you get stung by all kind of stuff. And you deal with creatures and stuff. And the grass is tough, the weeds. And the house, you know, you buy it new, it starts falling apart after so many years. You got to fix it up and clean it up and keep it up. Praise God. Thank God he's building one that will stay up and keep up. Amen. Your own house. And you didn't have to put one down payment on it. And they raising these taxes. Come on now. And you don't have to pay taxes for it. Come on, somebody. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are y'all seeing this? He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Well, God, I didn't have a chance to own a home or get a home while I was here. You're going to have a home up there. It's going to look nice, and it's going to be everything you like. The desires are, you're going to go in that house and go, wow, whoa, whoa, wow. And he did it because he loves you. Isn't that beautiful? All right, number six. It indicated the beginning of his new work as high priest. Now, this is the big one. So as a high priest, look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Therefore, in all things, he's made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Now, he not only took on humanity for us, but he took on priesthood ahead of us. And he's now elevated to high priest. You can't demote Jesus. You can't replace Jesus, or you can't, impeach Jesus. See, high priest had a rotation, and then once they finished that assignment, they retired. Jesus is not retired from the priesthood. He's a merciful, right now, merciful and faithful high priest. Hallelujah. And things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Somebody say praise God. So when you mess up, you still got somebody that's going to come up and come to your aid and say, come on, let's get it right. Come on, let's get it right. Let's get it right before God. Come on, let's get it straightened out. Come on now. I shed my blood for you. My sins paid the price for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Your sins have been paid for and remitted through my blood. So stop wallowing around in that sin. I can cut it off from you. Isn't that good? He's the cure. He's not the cause of sin, but he's the cure. Hallelujah. I don't want to meddle right then. I was going to meddle, but I'm not. Hebrews 3:1. It says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest. Everybody say high priest. High priest. There it is right there, high priest. Everybody say high priest. High priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. He's been sent by God to be your high priest. You don't need an imperfect person who has to sacrifice for his own sins and then try to help you. No, he's already done it. All for you. Amen. Now let's look at another scripture, Hebrews 4:14-16. Seeing then that we have a what? Great, what kind of priest? High priest who has passed through the heavens. That's Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was all points tempted as we were, yet without sin. So he did it so he can empower us and help us and aid us and assist us to keep to do it like he did it. Get through the temptation, get through the trauma, get through the tension, get through the trouble without sinning. I hope you're seeing a concept of his priesthood ministry. He said, so he's able to sympathize with our weakness, but is also points tempted as we are without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that so that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, the big deal, sin, some people don't understand that you need a priest to deal with the sin problem that sometimes can trap you and trouble you. When you sin, you break fellowship. You break not relationship per se, but fellowship. You break fellowship. What you break from what? God's presence, God's protection, God's peace, God's power, and God's provision. That's why when things are just falling apart, you got to first look and say, okay, where do I step out of love? Because that's usually where people sin. Every step out of love is a step out of God. Every step out of love and step out of God is a step into sin. When you harbor forgiveness, unforgiveness, when you get bitter, when you get offended, when you get angry with a brother without a cause, you become murderous at heart. You step out of God and you step into sin. You break, so you don't have access, or you cannot appropriate God's presence or power, peace, protection, or provision. So things start falling apart. You get stuck in business. You get stuck in your finances. You get stuck in trying to receive your healing. Because why? There's some blockage there. So that's what Jesus comes along and says, well, I paid for this. It's already taken care of. You have redemption through my blood, but also forgiveness of sins. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Man, I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. Praise God. So he's the mediator of the new covenant. Hebrews 9:15. For this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for redemption of the transgression under the first covenant, that that those who all are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So he's our high priest. He's at the right hand of the Father. One of the rarest features of the revelation of the Apostle Paul is about the priesthood ministry of Jesus, mainly found in Hebrews. Now there's four phases of the revelation that God gave Paul, and one was what God through Christ did for us in his great plan of redemption or substitution. Second was the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit through the Word does in us at the new birth and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You got to know those things. And then third, what Jesus is doing right now at the in his present day ministry at the right hand of the Father. Many people miss that. Many people don't appreciate, acknowledge, or appropriate that. You got to realize that Jesus is in ministry full time for us. He's serving us right now as we speak. So Jesus died as a lamb, but he arose as Lord, as the Lord High Priest. After he ascended on into heaven, he sat down at the right hand of the Father to begin another ministry, an ongoing high priestly ministry, as his high priestly ministry comprised of four things: advocate, mediator, intercessor, and shepherd. All right, so turn with me to 1 John 1:9, and we're going to illustrate this. So, Brother Steve, if you get the chair. Come bring the chair for me. So this is Jesus' job description right now as a priest. Let me just put it right there. Thank you, Lord. And so we're going to have a pretend high priest come. Hallelujah. Come on up. Dante, come on. You've been tagged. You're it. Come on, let's encourage him. Let's clap. Let's praise God. Hallelujah. So as our, sit down. So he rose up and he's seated next to the throne in heaven. And he's crowned king. So sit like you're king. You know, you the priest. Amen. There you go. All right, so thank you for putting this on. Okay. All right. So, but from his high priestly ministry, there are four things that the Lord does for us in his position as king, Lord, and priest, high priest. So his high priestly ministry is manifested in four ways for us. First is advocate. Everybody say advocate. All right. Turn to 1 John 1:9. So we're going to have our advocate come. Donnie, come on up. I'm going to ask Pastor, can you help him with this? Or somebody help him with it. Come on, put the hat on. So this is our advocate right here, okay? And his cape put on his glasses. Now those are focus glasses. If you've seen them, they're focus glasses. And what they are is that Jesus is focused on you. He's focused on your case. He's like a super lawyer. Look, he's got his cape on. He's a super lawyer, and he's going to tell you right now, I'm your advocate. Now, let's read the scripture. Let's read the scripture. Hallelujah, I just lost my scripture. Okay, all right, let's read it. Hallelujah. So he's the advocate. So it says here in 1 John 1:9, listen to this. 1 John, I just missed it. Apologize. Okay. All right. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have a what? Advocate. Hold your sign up, Donna. Hold your sign up. Hey, we have an advocate. Everybody say advocate. With the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, the word advocate, now you can walk down the aisle, Donnie. Walk down the aisle. The word advocate means lawyer. One who pleads your case or cause. Now, why do you have a case and cause? Okay, walk down the aisle there. There. Okay. Why do you have a case and cause? Because the accuser of the brethren is filing lawsuits in heaven for you. Amen? All right. So he's your attorney for defense, your big-time legal aid and assistance and advocate. Everybody say advocate. All right, now we have our mediator. So we have Sarai. Yeah, you got your hand up already. Come on, come on. All right, with the blue. All right. Yeah, the blue. Yeah, the blue Tiara, put it on her. There you go. All right. And the glasses, blue glasses. And there you go. Now. Mediator. Everybody say mediator. So this is what Jesus has done for us as our mediator. Now listen to this. Sarai, you can walk down the aisle and come back. Just walk down the aisle and come back. It says 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Who? Only one. There's not 50. There's not 70. There's not even 3. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now listen to this. He's also the mediator of our new covenant. That means a legal term. Hebrews 8:6. Now he has attained a more excellent ministry. Everybody say Jesus is in ministry. It's an excellent ministry. It's in as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Everybody say thank you, Lord, for being our mediator. A mediator is a go-between, a reconciler, one who intervenes between two, either in order to make or restore peace and friendship from form a compact or ratifying a covenant. You need some help to get you connected and in covenant with God. And that's Jesus Christ, our Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right, Sarai, you can come stand over here. Just stand right here. Just stand right here. Or stand next to Donnie. The next one is our intercessor. Now, we have a purple. We have female. I thought it was going to be some females here. So let's get somebody older. Let's get Sister Ola. Come on. Come on up, Sister Ola. You'll be our. Who? Huh? The tear. I didn't want to embarrass him with the tear. We don't want to send the wrong message. Okay. Come on up, Sister Ola. All right. So. All right, everybody say intercessor. All right. There's her. Doesn't she look good? Everybody say, go, Sister Ola. She's playing. So this is Jesus. Another one of Jesus's ministries. Hallelujah. It says, seeing that we have a great high priest that's gone through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Hallelujah. For we do not have a high priest which cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. It says here, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. So Jesus as our high priest of the new covenant, just as he's a mediator of our covenant. It also says this in Hebrews 7:25. It says this, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He lives to make intercession for them. In Isaiah 53:12, it says, he has poured out his soul unto death and he was numbered with the transgressors and bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He made intercession for the transgressors. In Hebrews 8:34, it says, who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, but rather that he's risen again, even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Everybody say, thank you, Lord, for making intercession for us. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So when you're seeking a hearing, an audience with God, you go through Jesus. Sometimes if you're trying to get to someone, it may take you 30 days. If you've ever tried to call through the IRS and try to get tax situations figured out, it takes you a minute. You're on hold for a lot. You get in voicemail jail. Sometimes I've been there, praise God. Or you're on the phone with somebody trying to get resolved a legal issue. But when you need an issue solved and an appointment with God to help you work it out and walk it out, come on now, he's ever interceding. He'll make a case for you. He'll get you into the front of the docket. Come on now. He'll get you in front of God and say, I'll make a way for you to get before God. I'll get this in front of God right away in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, last, we need one more lady. Pick them, Pastor Cynthia. Pick somebody. Who's going to pick? Okay, Tracy raised her hand, so she volunteered. We can do Francis or whoever wants to. Okay, all right. So our last one is our shepherd. Everybody say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I shall not want. So everybody say, I do not lack for ability. I do not lack for opportunity, and I never lack for money. Amen. All right. Now walk down the aisle. Praise God. It says, I am the good shepherd. The Bible says it in John chapter 10, 14. I am the good shepherd, and my sheep know I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. What does that mean? As a Christian, you're an absolute overcomer. If the Lord Jesus is your shepherd, that means you overcome anything and everything that comes against you. Now, some of y'all need to fathom that. You got problems in your family, problems with your finances, problems in your body, problems on the job place, on the workplace, problems in your business that you need to overcome. He is your shepherd. And it's not even a question, am I going to overcome? You are, you have, you and you will overcome. Somebody say, praise the God, Lord. Now, all the people stand up. Well, not you, the king. You're going to take a picture with him. All right, stand around your king. King Jesus is manifest in these four areas. Come on over. So Jesus, high priest in ministry, meets every need of the believer. Now, I want you to think about that. He meets every need of you as a believer. From the moment you're born again until you're ushered into the presence of God at the end of life. So you don't have to live independent and isolated from God and try to get it done on your own. Some of us are so polluted and intoxicated with the American culture of I got to do it my way. I got to make my way, or I got to depend on the government to give me a handout or hand up. No, you have a high priest who's ascended into heaven and who is ready and willing to minister and provide everything you need from the time you're born again until the time you die. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And it sets the pattern for your return, his return. So will you receive him today as your high priest? Come on, let's give these a hand as they go. Now, all the props and stuff go to the children's ministry. Amen. They take them. So make sure the crowns get where Pastor Cynthia can give them. And then we'll have some candy. We'll pass those out in a minute. You don't do it right now. And I'll take care of you. Take care of all the people that helped us. Praise God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise Hallelujah. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.